Thanks, Teresa. That's so special to remember that. I'm gonna give myself a timer because I want to keep on track here. I'm so grateful to be here tonight. As scary as it is to do a speaker share, it's good to be here with all of you. I actually did this in Santa Barbara 2 years ago, almost to the month. And what a different experience it is to do it on a Zoom. This is not my forte, but I know that higher power brings me the things that I need. So thank you, higher power, and thank you for asking me, Genova, to share tonight. And thank you all for being here and seeing and hearing me, because I need to be seen and heard. So before I do a speaker share, I always kind of reflect on what I want to share on. And what came to mind for me was my relationship with Genova and how much I love and appreciate her as a fellow traveler. And I started thinking about the promises and how they come true in my life, and how promise four is really coming through for me lately. My ability to share intimacy is growing inside of me. And I think it's, you know, these relationships that I have with my fellow travelers that really bring that. Because I was not modeled what healthy relationships looked like as a child. I actually brought a picture and invited my inner teen to come with me tonight, because she is the most scared and protective part of myself and does not like to have a voice. So I'm going to show you a picture of my inner teen so she can be seen tonight. So she's here with me. I invited her in tonight because this is really scary for her. But what I want to talk about a little bit is my experience as a child and how it has shaped how I have relationships as an adult prior to ACA, of course. I was raised by a single mom, and she was very harsh and very to herself and isolated and did not have relationships with people. She had short-lived romantic relationships and just, you know, really had no friends. So I was never really modeled what it looked like to have a normal, intimate relationship with someone. And, you know, my family did not talk, trust, or feel. We were kind of all in our own little bubbles, and there was no feeling, there was no hugging, there was no intimacy or closeness in our relationships. And this is something that really affected me in my childhood. I think, you know, by the time I hit about 13, I really started just becoming introverted and isolated, and just did not know how to connect with people. I always kind of felt like I had acquaintances, and like I was on the periphery of all of the social interactions in middle school and high school. And it was kind of like I was different and alone is always the feeling I got. So I just kind of labeled myself an introvert and kind of just made myself believe that it was easier not to have relationships with other people. And my tendency, you know, that went on into my adult life. And I think, you know, what I did was I used romantic relationships to try to like kind of have friendships or have some kind of human interaction. But, you know, they were not healthy relationships, and I was not able to have intimacy in those relationships at all. I think I really just thought that sex was intimacy, actually, and that's the only kind of intimacy there was. I did not know how to let people see me and to talk openly and talk from the heart and have an open dialogue. It was just something that I didn't know. I had no idea what that looked like. And so, of course, I, you know, started using drugs and alcohol to, you know, not feel so socially awkward. And that worked great. I mean, it was great. You know, if I was drunk, then I was everybody's friend. But, you know, then we would all be sober and I wouldn't have any friends. So it was one of those things that was not, you know, helpful in me learning how to have intimacy in my relationships. And, you know, by the time I got married, and I had no intimacy in my marriage, oddly enough, I was married for 14 years and there was no intimacy or trust or closeness in that relationship. And, you know, fortunately, I was able to get sober from alcohol and drugs in that period. But what happened when I got sober is that I really shut down emotionally, like, and I went into this huge place of isolation. It was just me and my kids were my world, and I didn't have any friends and I didn't want to connect with anybody. It was just easier to kind of do it on my own. And of course, you know, we reach unmanageability in those places, and I eventually ended up in ACA. But it would take me, you know, until I, you know, 8 years of sobriety to figure out that, you know, this was not normal. And, you know, being alone is not necessary, and that I could, you know, partake in the world, so to speak. So I just really have had, spent a lot of time reflecting on how I've grown in my ability to share and open up. When I started AC, it was so hard to talk. I just, you know, to talk openly was like something that, like, it took so much practice to be able to do it, and coming to the meetings and listening to other people talk about this social awkwardness and these feelings alone really helped me understand that this is part of the dynamic that plays out, you know, in these, in our alcoholic and dysfunctional homes, and that I wasn't this anomaly in the world, and that my experience was not only just my experience, but a whole group of people's experience. And I think really one of the, I feel like one of the greatest gifts I got was being able to connect with other women, because my mom was scary and I was afraid of women and I never had women friends. It was just so, it was something I couldn't do because it was just, the idea of it terrified me. So when Teresa said, you know, that we were all in this meeting together, I remember when I first started, you know, contacting Teresa and, you know, asking her questions and going on walks with her and really trying to practice friendship. And it was so hard in the beginning to do that. So very hard. It felt so awkward and just like it was going to kill me almost to try to text somebody or to reach out. You know, it still takes a lot of practice, and it's really still hard for me to reach out and connect with other people, because my go-to is to go to that old place and to be, you know, my inner teen and hide out and not be vulnerable and open and to protect myself. And so what I really appreciate is Promise 4 and the ability to, you know, connect in a new way and learn how to do this with vulnerability and, you know, letting you see me, because I don't think I ever let anybody see me, especially not other women. And that's been such a lesson and such a gift in my recovery. And I do want to talk a little bit about my relationship with Genova. We actually live like one block away from each other. So it's been really nice being so close to one another. We have, you know, we've had a chance to take a lot of walks and do a lot of talking. And I just really like have this place of gratitude for our relationship, because it's given me an opportunity to, I've developed the ability to see when I'm trying to self-protect and when I'm trying to not engage and to separate. And I really trust her, and I have a huge amount of vulnerability with her. And I really understand her inner child. Our inner children just are on the same wavelength, and the things that she shares with me makes me feel so comforted, because it's like, wow, you feel that way too. And it's helped me so much. And I just, you know, it's really helped me move past these blocks that I have in connecting with people. And I just really have a lot of respect for her recovery too. I have to say this, and it's a little odd because I don't want to be, you know, I feel weird talking about her, but I just want to say how much I really respect her recovery and how much courage she has and the way she does her recovery and her effort and willingness. It's so amazing. And it's such a beautiful thing to witness people's recovery. And I've been thinking about her and when I met her about 3 years ago, and how she was a different person 3 years ago than she is today. And, you know, it's like, we say we peel the onion, but it's like you see someone's spirit and their soul be lifted in this program in such an amazing way. She looks so light and so happy and so free. And I really love to see that in my fellow travelers and see their progress and be there to witness it and to support, you know, and to help myself develop kind and loving and intimate relationships with other people. That is such a gift. And my world has become so open because of this program, and my heart is so full, and I see it in everything that I do, and, you know, my work world, and every interaction I have is so much more interconnected and coming from a place of, you know, vulnerability and openness and talking about how I feel. And it's really amazing to be able to do that sober, you know, and not to have to rely on anything to get me there. And yeah, I still feel socially awkward all of the time. I went to a party the other day for work, and I was sitting there, and I could feel how socially awkward I felt. I felt so different. And I kind of laughed and went, you know what, that's that old feeling I used to get when I was, you know, a teenager. And here it is. And I'm in, you know, my working world as a professional, but I'm still feeling that. And it's okay. And I just, you know, grab my left hand. And that's what I do when I, you know, I'm working with my inner child. And I just said, you know, it's okay. We're safe here and we're okay. And no, we're just, we're not different. We're just like everybody else. We're human. So I'm really, really grateful for all of that, the growth that I can do within myself and with all of you. And thank you, Geneva, for your love and support. I appreciate you so much and all that you give to my recovery. And I think that's all I'm going to say now. And I'm really excited to hear what you have to share tonight and really happy to be here with all of you. So thank you for your time and for seeing me and hearing me.
Thank you.